Last week, the trial of drug lord El Chapo resumed in New York after a brief hiatus for the holidays. And Tuesday saw stunning corruption allegations implicating the highest levels of the Mexican government. A Colombian drug lord named Alex Cifuentes, who described himself as El Chapo's personal secretary in the late 2000s, alleged that the drug kingpin paid a $100 million bribe to former Mexican president Enrique Peña Nieto. A spokesperson for Peña Nieto called the allegation false, noting that his administration captured and extradited El Chapo to the United States. Joining us to discuss all of this is Noah Hurwitz, a freelance reporter covering the El Chapo trial for Rolling Stone. Noah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
So when did this alleged bribe take place?
So according to Cifuentes, the bribe was made in October of 2012. This was shortly following the Mexican presidential election in which Enrique Peña Nieto won. And he was about to take office in December of that year. Now, according to Cifuentes, Peña Nieto had come to El Chapo and asked for $250 million.
For what?
In order to call off the nationwide manhunt. El Chapo had been in hiding since 2001 after his first prison break, and they had not had much luck finding him, but he had been sort of forced to hide in the hills of Sinaloa in order to continue working and stay free. And according to Cifuentes, Peña Nieto said, look, you give me $250 million, I'll let you come down out of the mountains, keep doing your work.
Who else was allegedly in the pocket of El Chapo? What are we learning about from this trial?
Pretty much everyone, man. Like, corruption in the Mexican law enforcement, judiciary, politics has been pretty much common knowledge for a long time. But we've heard a lot of instances of pretty specific bribery of specific people. One thing that Cifuentes spoke about in the same proffer sessions with authorities following his extradition was that El Chapo had federal police, Mexican federal police, on his payroll who he would send suitcases full of cocaine from Argentina to the airport in Mexico City, and the federales would have a picture of the suitcase and the number of the flight, and then they would just pick up the suitcases and sell the coke for the cartel. So pretty much at every level we've heard about people being on the take. This is not the first time either that we've heard about a former president being on the take. A former cartel leader who spoke earlier in the trial also told about giving bribes directly to the top security chief for Felipe Calderon, who preceded Nieto. And we've also heard allegations against the current president. The same guy who made the allegation against Calderon said that he had given something like a few million dollars to the guy who was the security chief for AMLO, which is his nickname, when AMLO was the mayor of Mexico City.
What is the what? I mean, I would imagine if I was Cifuentes, the last thing I'd want to do is go against El Chapo. What led Cifuentes to do that?
Well, so Cifuentes was arrested in 2013 or 2014, and he was extradited to the United States in 2016. And he pretty much immediately started to cooperate with the authorities, and he gave us an interesting anecdote about why. His brother, Jorge Cifuentes, who also testified earlier at trial, had been caught prior to Alex. And he managed to speak to him on a smuggled cell phone before he got extradited. And he said that Jorge told him, look, when it comes to the Americans, you confess to them like you confess to God. If you were on trial, I would be first in line to testify against you. And the message was, look, you're going to have to testify. Otherwise, you're going to spend life in prison. So Alex started cooperating pretty early, and he had what's called proffer sessions, where basically if you're going to cooperate with the authorities, they sit you down and they ask you about everything. And you have to be completely truthful, because if anything comes out that you've lied, there goes your sort of your shot at maybe getting a reduced sentence. So these allegations of presidential bribery came out during those proffer sessions. Now, he was not asked about this by the prosecution. He was asked about this by the defense. And this sort of goes back to what the defense team has been doing since the beginning, which is trying to at once indict the authorities who caught El Chapo and the authorities who are prosecuting El Chapo, and also to sort of paint this conspiracy that El Chapo is not the big bad guy, that there's this other guy, Ismael Zambada, who was a longtime partner of El Chapo, and the defense team has tried to sort of paint him as the top dog who is still free, which he is, And they're saying he's still free because he was better at bribery.
What's the prosecution's response been to the latest revelations?
They have tried to suppress any mention of this kind of corruption at every turn. The first time we heard about it was in Jeffrey Lichtman's opening statements when he said, you know, you will hear that the two Mexican presidents, including the current Mexican president, received bribes from the cartel. At the time, Peña Nieto was the president. And that night of the opening, after the opening statements, the government did a really unusual thing where they moved to strike the entire opening statement, saying that it was completely, had nothing to do with the trial, and that it was just, you know, trying to create a sideshow. And they did the same thing this week when Lichtman brought up the testimony from the proffer sessions about the bribery. They tried to strike that and suppress any further mention of it. So their argument has been that it's just going to confuse the jurors. It has nothing to do with the charges against El Chapo, and that it's just a tactic by the defense team to create what they call a sideshow or generate media attention.
At the end of the day, if El Chapo is incarcerated, what change is that going to have, or what impact will that, could that have on the issues that are happening in Mexico with the drug war?
Probably not a lot. I think that this trial has really shown the limits of what's referred to as the kingpin strategy, which for a long time the U.S. government and the Mexican government along with it have tried to sort of lop the heads off of these cartels, pick up the leaders. And all that's really managed to do is create a lot more chaos. And that's something that we haven't heard a lot about at trial because the focus is so narrow on El Chapo. We haven't heard about, you know, the spectacular violence that overtook Juarez and Tijuana in the mid-2000s. We haven't heard about the vast majority of the crimes that occur sort of as a trickle-down result of the drug war because the trial is focused on El Chapo. And I think that really sort of shows the limits of this strategy because you can still buy drugs, man. Like, and there's still drugs coming over the border. There's still people being murdered. There's still very elevated level of violence in Mexico. And El Chapo has been in jail since 2015.
Noah Hurwitz is a freelance reporter covering the El Chapo trial for Rolling Stone. Noah, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.